to each speak person. The Honourable Deputy Minister will then introduce your team to us also. I'm the chief person of the committee. Over to you, Hannah.
My name is Omi Singh. I'm a member of this committee from KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning. My name is Bridget Asango, member of the committee from Gauteng.
Good morning, Chairperson. I am Bae Smith from Limpopo.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Manda Rai, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. Joe Monyabi, member of this committee from Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mbuchelo Makebas, member of this committee from the Northern Cape.
Then we give over to the Deputy Minister of Telecommunication to introduce the team.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much for kind words of welcome. We can only make the same commitment that we would like to interact and to strengthen cooperation with your office. I lead in the delegation here, which is being led by our Director General, Honorable Rudy Sikese, Temba Piri. Director General, he's the leader in the government department. Mr. Temba Piri, one of our deputies, Sunile Magobi, also DDG, Sam Velagazi, also DDG. DDGs are not honorable. Ms. Jordan, Mr. Diego Ngubeni, also DDG, and Ms. Kelsey Delay, and the ministerial advisor, Mr. Joe Mujoha, also not the honorable. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bear with me, but I'm going to say comrades, because the Deputy Minister and me have a kind of a comrade relationship. So that's why, but I will try to not to be late. Thank you. Over to the Deputy Minister of Communication. Thank you, Honourable Chair. A warm greeting to all the honourable members of the Select Committee. With me, honourable chair, or firstly, let me introduce myself as another few. I am Stella Tevisbandabin Abraham, the Deputy Minister of Communication. I am with my delegation, and firstly, let me apologize on behalf of our acting DG, Ms. Kumla Williams, who has to join the cabinet today as cabinet secretary. Then I have with me three DDGs, namely Nebu Dukwane, Mr. Harold Maloga, Mr. Yitu Simkane, and Chief Director Michael Curry and Jimmy Boyd. That's my delegation on the member. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can interview themselves? Any other people present? Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Anthony Arsfeld. I'm the ex-member of Parliament and just an observer in this select committee.
Thank you very much. Any further delay, I'm going to give over to the department to do the presentation of the only strategic performance plan. The Department of Communication can proceed. I'm going to ask you, I know it is, and we discussed this morning,
to have more time for the presentation, but due to time constraint, can we give you each department 30 minutes to do your presentation and the other 30 minutes and questions for one department? 30 minutes, questions for the other department. Is it okay with you? Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As I indicated earlier, we are in this field that we've been invited to be part of the Select Committee today, actually basically to give a presentation on what our plans are in the financial year. Before I dwell much on that, Honorable Chair, allow me to explain briefly why the President saw a need to separate the then Department of Communications, which dealt with both telecom, school down, and the actual communication. Those that are South Africans or that have had the privilege of being in our country, I'm sure they observe that as much as we were saying we are communicating with our citizens, but we haven't done much. At times, we rigorously try to communicate with our members during election period. And by that time, it is already late for government to be able to say, we are identifying gaps in whatever policies that we have developed and the plans that are there that are meant to be benefited by the ordinary citizen. Then we say, well, let's agree on one thing, that we need to be focused on communication. Engaging with our citizens, let it be our number one priority. It is not just about us taking the information to the public, but also giving an opportunity to the same public to be able to give feedback to government and also advise, identify the challenges. Reality is that, Honorable Chair, also, the policies are very good. Everybody, 62% has content that we are driving as government. Then what is the investment of doing correctly to the policies of very good, but the majority of this kind of say, we did have content in you. Then it means there is a communication breakdown when it comes to the actual implementation of those policies. Then how do we then make sure that as much as we've told our citizens what it is that we are going to do during our election period, when we get into government, we then able to work with them to say, we said we are going to deliver 15 houses, but then they come to us and tell us, actually the Deputy Minister, the commitment that you made that everybody in this country would have access to communication, but I go to radio station, my area is not working. Before it is too late. When I say before it is too late, before we deprive our people of the information that they are supposed to know. Therefore, our department came into evidence to say and create a platform of making sure that government communicates and the public communicates with the government. Honorable Chair, as I said, our concern was that it is not only to communicate, but we have a responsibility as proud of Africans to make sure that we brand and market our country. How do we then do that? If our people don't know what is happening in their country, it becomes our responsibility today. It is high time that we invite everybody to the revolution that we are driving of ensuring that the communication sector is out there and active. The DDG that I'm concerned with will then take us through how do we then plan to revolutionize the communication sector by making sure that each and every citizen participates through all government programs that are out there, and government at all times responds to the challenges that are faced by our communities. As Minister of Communications, as the President has announced, I'm sure we all know, that we are replacing what was then known as the GDIS. We know the entities that have been put under the current Department of Communications was the still condition of that. That's why it's like I must explain. We have the GDIS. We have ICASA, which is the regulator. It regulates both coastal telecom and communications. I know there has been confusion again as to why do we think it is correct to have the regulator under the Department of Communications. It is not because we're suffering from anything. We were overwhelmed when the decision was made. As we know previously, that ICASA had always had a political principal, which was the then Department of Communications. Their independence was only there. It is not anything. I hear as they want to play that we brought the regulator because we want to drive certain agendas. I want to alert everybody here that actually it's not anything. We have a responsibility as this government to make sure that we provide political direction. But as we have established the top 10 institutions, We were very clear that when we said they must be independent, it means that we have a responsibility to ensure that they are so, as guided, of course, by the constitution of the country. The other agency is the Media Development and Diversity Agency, which is to drive the transformation of the media. As I said, Honorable Chair, having said that, allow me to hand over to DDG Lebale. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, for a very, very, how can I say, a warm input. You can see there's energy in the department, and we are going to move forward with it. Thank you. You can talk to me.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members. I'm going to take you through our presentation of the annual performance plan and strategic plan from the DOC, but for now, tonight you are also able to say the GCIS so that I don't tie my tongue. As the GCIS, the previous slide was talking about our two political principles, but our communications really, we find ourselves communicating in the period when we are celebrating the 20 years of freedom, where we as a country and as a nation are reflecting on the successes and the achievements over the last 20 years. And as we celebrating and recognizing that, we are also looking forward to working together to move South Africa forward, which is the theme for this administration from 2014 to 2019. The strategic overview, we say one of the biggest things that we are doing as a government is fighting poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And to do that, there's a need to have intensive communication of socio-economic opportunities created by government for all citizens and communities in terms of the key priorities of government. The other important thing is that our communication is going to be focusing on the implementation of the program of action in pursuit of the National Development Plan, which presents a powerful opportunity to showcase the changing face of the South African landscape. The other important overview is around the growth in digital and mobile communication, which presents government with the opportunity and challenge of engaging interactively with citizens and stakeholders to join in social conversations. Our mandate as GCIS is to provide strategic leadership in government communication so that when we communicate, we make sure that we have streamlined messaging. We also coordinate government communication system and inter-government as well as intra-government. That ensures that the public is informed about government policies, plans, and programs. The DM has already spoken about the NGDA, which was then the agency of the GCIS. In terms of our vision, our mission, and our values, our vision is the pulse of communications excellence in government, just to make sure that the heartbeat, we are here to make sure that the heartbeat of communication is actually flowing. Our mission focuses on using the strategic communication of government to ensure coherence of messages and open and extend channels of communication between government and the people towards a shared vision. And we have five key values, including professionalism, diversity, openness, innovation, transparency, honesty, and integrity. Our strategic objectives, we have five strategic objectives. The first one talks about professionalization of the communication system to build a reliable knowledge base and enhance communications products, where we make sure that we develop content and create platforms to grow the voice of government. We maintain and strengthen a well-functioning communication system that proactively forms and engages the public. The minister has already talked about public engagement and visa. So we make sure that our system improves interdepartmental coordination across the three spheres of government, but also to make sure that we engage with the public about the policies, plans, and programs, but they also share with us their frustrations. But in some cases, they have some excitement, and they actually share with us some of the solutions that they think government can think of or can implement. We also have an active media and engagement system that builds a relationship with government.
government. We provide efficient and efficient communication service, which makes sure that we have a cost-effective media buying service for government, but also production of high-quality TV commercials, video pages, photographs, radio programs, as well as we have a graphic design service that we provide to client partners. In terms of providing a responsible, cost-effective, compliant, and business-focused corporate organization, this is what makes sure that we have a proactive, responsive, compliant, and cost-effective finance, supply chain, and facilities management. We make sure that we have we attract and retain highly skilled human capital. But more than anything, one of the things that we do is to make sure that we have an ICT, information and communications technologies, that will make us easier for us to do our work. The strategic objective for 2014, amongst other things, is when we talk about enhancing the image of government and that of the state, we manage a corporate identity for the whole of government. So, like right now, we are reorganizing and the reformation of some of the departments now. We are the department that is going to lead them to how to plan themselves. This is the GCIS executive. With our ministers, I'm not going to dwell on this one because we want to actually save time. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to give over to the EDGs to actually take us through their respective programs.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Deputy Minister. Thank you for the better explanation that we have already asked everywhere. My role is to take the Honorable Members through the target of what are the things that we are doing to effect the mandate that's already been outlined and the strategic objective that's already been placed. In the content processing and dissemination, we've got three units, one being product and platforms that we develop to make sure that we reach all our citizens. We have also what we call the policy and research, and also what we call the communication service agency. So to start with the product and platform, our objective is from time to time, we try to use as much research as available so that we can be able to come up with products that we can be able to interact with different people at different levels. And we have what we call a South African yearbook, which we would call it an encyclopedia of what is taking place in South Africa, which are based on what government has over a period of a year, annually, which is published with a forward from the president itself. And we try to keep it as fresh as possible. This copy of the document is a document that we distribute to libraries. We make it electronically available. We also distribute it to schools. We also distribute it to other stakeholders like research institutions. And we also put it on DVD so that we are given the limited resources that we have so that we don't have to print too many documents. But also to make it available for those who are able to put it to use it when it's an electronic format. We also have a capacity, as you know, as a lieutenant of the our responsibility is to ensure that all South Africans are able to receive the message, but also that they are able to speak back to government. We have a translation a unit which assists us to make sure that at least most of the product that we produce are also produced in different languages so that we can distribute and not disadvantage many of our people. We also have the Vukuz and Zelle newspaper, which on annual basis we print about 20.4 million copies. It comes out monthly, it's translated into different languages and distributed across the country. We print about 1.7 million copies a month. This is a limited one against the 1 million population that we have as confirmed by the census. Our intention is to make sure that we are able to grow that, but in this financial year we will be continuing to print about 30.4 million of this newspaper. This remains the biggest newspaper print run in the country, and we're quite proud of it, and we will continue to make sure that we are. We also, coupled with it on a quarterly basis, we have a newsletter that informs citizens on a number of issues that comes up every quarter with Vukuzenzele itself. Our distribution strategy, particularly when it comes to Vukuzenzele, and there is a knock and drop. We try to reach those households where there's the information gap, where they are unable to get, and some of them, they don't even dream of seeing a normal newspaper that we, the South African commercial media creates, because they don't reach the entirety of the population. We also have a news agency which we call SA News, and I would invite honorable members to go through it. It's SA News of GOV.NET. On a daily basis, we make sure that we put photos there. We cover government activities, we cover government programs and policies, and we write different articles. And those that is used quite extensively, especially by international news agencies, like allafrica.com and some of them in other countries where we have managed to sign agreement, including Xinhua in China, which is the biggest news agency in that country, and assists us in the news exchange in the distribution of such news. Secondly, that we make this content available to community newspapers in the country themselves. They use our voice for free. We provide them with those photographs and those stories, and they're able to translate them and use them for their own audiences, which for us is a good initiative, because it assists us to extend the message of government beyond the platforms that we have. We also have a magazine which is on Rise and Family, which we call it a public sector magazine. This is where we our approach is that over 1 million public servants that are employed by government, we also turn them into ambassadors of the government message. And therefore, our intention is to make sure that we discuss several issues that government is doing, and that we publish it and distribute it for free in most of government departments and in provinces. We would want to extend that message so that it can be able to reach each and every public servant. But our approach is that a magazine has got a longer lifespan, so therefore, even if it's read by one, it can still be passed on to others. And that is we have all 11 editions. In December and January, we issue a bumper edition which captures both January and December, given the downtime of that particular period. We're also mindful of the fact that we are living in a digital age, and therefore we need to take advantage of the technology. There's a lot of conversations that are taking place on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, and everywhere else, on YouTube, and so on. And we need to take government messages to those platforms. From time to time, when people are prepared, both whether in meetings, whether in trains, in taxis, everywhere else, there are conversations that are taking place, and ours is to make sure that we influence that. So we do have a fully fledged photography unit that goes out and covers government activities. We take the official photos and provide them to the media. We provide them also on the social platforms. But we also put it back to the video unit that also goes and captures video footage that we also share with broadcasters, especially in areas where they're unable to reach and we are able to reach them. And we put those videos also on YouTube so that we can also keep the conversation going from a visual point of view. We also have a platform called Flickr, which also is a repository of where most of the photos have to be placed, and therefore the conversation continues on social media itself. We have a government guide, which is also a newsletter that we distribute throughout the internal processes of departments, where we write on different issues so that different public servants can be able to, who have computers, who have emails, can be able to be kept up to date of the recent developments. The most recent one that we released, it was also on the VSM reconfiguration that has been done by the president and the proclamation, as the deputy minister was explaining, so that more and more public servants are more informed of what is taking place. We're also in charge of the government website. And therefore, we manage that to make sure that it becomes the biggest repository of government information electronically, and that it can be accepted from time to time. We, from time to time, analyze the data that is coming out of it to make sure that the information that we put there responds to the public needs, the user needs, and also at the same time that it can be able to adapt to
new platforms. As we speak currently, we are working on making sure that it can be able to adapt to mobile. That when it opens itself on a cell phone, it can be able to recognize itself and it can move it with speed. We also we manage, as Nivo said earlier on, we are responsible for the management of the corporate identity of government. And therefore, we make sure that we interact with all departments, the correct use of the government logo, the correct use of the code of arms, including the South African flag, and that we try to distribute through our distribution unit all the products that have been used. Under policy and research, we have a unit where we monitor the media coverage, both local and international, both print newspapers, radio, television, and social media, so the government can keep the public abreast, but also to use those insights to be able to inform people and correct any wrong information that might be distributed about government. We'll try to make sure that we inform all stakeholders about any breaking news that happens. As we continue to monitor all of that, we also have a research unit where we go out to go and conduct research so that our communication is on point and it reaches the right people at the right level, so that we're able to respond as quickly as possible. We also try to conduct public opinion research on a number of that are taking place so that we can respond to some of the issues that the public would want to hear. And in the interest of time, I will stop there so that people can take more better.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think I want to sit here and ask you just to go on and on. Today, any further? Any further? Okay, thank you.
Actually, there are four sub-programs. Four programs. Harold is leading the first one. I'm leading the second sub-program. Harold is then going to take us through the third, and Itumezu will take us through the fourth. And I'm looking at the time, so I think we still have to run.
I think you can try to summarize.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm leading the program Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management. Lastly, our purpose is to implement development communications campaigns through both mediated using the media and unmediated communication, working with all stakeholders at national, provincial, and local levels. We have 9 provincial offices and 54 district offices, so our presence is all over the country. The first program is provincial and local government, which exists amongst other groups to present the national communication strategy. Just indicated to the House also that on the 25th of December, Cabinet approved the national communication framework that is going to drive communication for the coming 5 years. One of the things that we are going to do is make sure that we share that strategy at national, provincial, and local level to also make sure that the departments, when they develop their own communication strategy, it falls, the strategy falls within the framework. This sub-program largely makes sure that it makes interventions and strengthen the way local government communicates by helping them with strategizing, with training and capacity development, but also where we engage through different forums at provincial, district, and local levels. We are responsible as this department for the communications element of digital service centers, which are the ones of government information service centers. So it is our responsibility to promote and market those centers. I'm making this emphasis because for the past 9 years, we have been establishing or facilitating establishment, but we did that without money and effort. So we decided and engaged with Cabinet to say the mandate of this department is to communicate government with, not to build infrastructure. So we are promoting those centers. We are also responsible for producing MyDistrict Today, which is a local electronic newsletter showcasing successes of delivery at local level. We have more than 3,000 people who are recipients of this newsletter. We also manage the development of communication applications annually, and in our plan, we're planning to do 1,800 things. This includes having seminars, engagements, exhibitions at shopping malls, at taxi rents. It also talks about the invisos, where we engage the public, the political groups engage the public. So also, when there are major events like the State of the Nation address, but also the recent funeral of the former president, Mandela, the inauguration, we coordinate the big screens, especially in these rural areas, so that our public can actually actively also participate in the engagement of government. The other important thing that we are doing is the sub-program, is the media engagement. This is the sub-program that ensures that we proactively build strategic relations with the media, national, international, the Press Gallery Association here, but also with the community media sector. We also make sure that every day, like today, there is cabinet. Tomorrow, there's going to be a cabinet briefing. We are responsible for making sure that we share the decisions of cabinet with the public. The other important thing that we are also doing is daily we manage a rapid response function that identifies stories that are making headlines about government, and we talk about how to respond and to promote or to also protect the government so that the government voice is heard. The last sub-program is the cluster communication. This sub-program has got two directories. The cluster human and social as well as GNA, and then the justice, crime prevention, international as well as the economy. What this cluster does, largely, is to provide communications advice and to coordinate support to departments, including leadership on key cluster communication issues and campaigns. In the running, this is how far I can go. I'm going to then give back to Harold to take us through the set program.
Chairperson, in the interest of time, just 2 points. One is that this is the union that is responsible to ensure that the government expenditure, particularly when it comes to advertising, realizes the economies of scale, and we try to coordinate all the advertising that has been done, that money for government can realize it. Much better. Secondly, that we do have a radio unit where we are able to provide content, where we provide content to community radio stations on a daily basis. We're quite excited right now that we have a network of about 105 community radio stations who have the technology that they are able to take our news. We even use the 12 o'clock and at 4 o'clock that is recorded from our offices, both here in Cape Town and in Pretoria. And we do have, we host and ministers, presidents, and all the leadership of government for community radio discussions that connected to all the community organizations at a particular point for discussions and where the public can be able to ask their questions in different languages. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks very much, I'm going to present to the committee the administration part of our department. And as it has already been indicated, in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all the slides as you see them. The branch that I'm leading is responsible for human resources, the office of the CFO, information technology, as well as planning and the monitor unit, and human resources development. With regard to human resources management, we have a human resources strategy for 2018 up to 2017, which covers all the elements that are required in terms of managing human resources as reflected in the slide there, and that is what we are intending to implement. And the other area which is very, very critical is our financial management and supply chain management. What we have is a strategy in place where we have committed that we will prepare annual financial statements and issue them on time in order to ensure that we have an high and qualified audit report. And this is our commitment that we comply and we adhere all the prescripts that are there to govern our financial management and supply chain management. And the area of human resources development, I think the main issue that I want to highlight is that at DCIS we have committed ourselves to the fact that we will train and arrange training sessions for newly appointed political principals, and thereafter roll out a plan where we make sure that all communication officers in all government departments are trained throughout the year. And that is our commitment to make sure that we strengthen them communicate like the minister has already indicated, and that is our full commitment. And the last one which I want to highlight in the interest of time is the issue of the strategic planning and monitoring of performance. I think as required by the law, we have to make sure that on regular times we've got to prepare our strategic plan and make sure that we prepare our annual report. On the issue of budget, which I think is very crucial that I touch on that, is the slide that I will dwell much on. It's to indicate to the honourable members that we have a budget for the current year of 418.1 million rand. And when we look at it, the way we have distributed it, for administration we've got 141.4, content processing and dissemination 99.9, and the intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management 121.7, and communication service agency 50.1. And the out years, there's a slight increase, as you can see the figures there. I'm not going to dwell much on that. And all these monies are there so that we ensure that all the programs and all the activities that were highlighted by my colleagues are carried out in school. And the main aim is to make sure that we strengthen our communication for this administration. I think that was the service minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sure we can then give the ball back to someone. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. I really want to apologize because we are not doing justice to the department. You come and prepare them for to come to the committee and do a presentation. And but it's not in my doing to the time is not in my hands. We are pressurized, but I think we need to do a follow-up. Really, we are going to look at it because you are new, but we are also new, and we need to know and to learn more about this department. And I think we are going to do in future only one department per day taken in. I did mention this morning to the management committee that it's not. I don't think it will work out with two departments, but on one day. Because we are not going to do justice to the department. Thank you. Sorry about it. But thank you. It was very informative. Like I was saying, I want to sit back and to listen so that I can get to know the department more and more. I want to listen to the media out there and all the stories. One don't know what is the inside things that is there. But thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. I'm going to give over to the committee for questions, if any. Honourable Smith.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Deputy Minister, maybe you will be able to assist me with this. I get a sense that it's a lot, a one-way communication. I want to know, in terms of communication from the ground towards government, what is the program? Because otherwise it gets to the sense that it is a, like, you know, the propaganda department that has already got a nickname. So what is the department going to do to ensure that it's two-way communication and not only, you know, the spreading information from the government side.
Thank you, Honourable Smith. Number two, Honourable Nyami.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take this opportunity and welcome the presentation. Let me also be upfront to indicate making our lives more easier. Many times we come to the department, it's something that is making our lives more easier because it will really assist us to put the effective oversight, so we highly appreciate that. The first question is in relation to the vacancies that we are
criticize for the sake of criticizing. We want to give credit for history. So, in the absence of information, perception sometimes comes to the end. So, we want to be able to make you account on that one. If you can give us an indication, how are you intending to use the vacant disability of the department so that we can be able to give something that you can give to us? That's the first one. Because that's the department that is key, that is going to deal with the strategic leadership in government communication. And I'm of the view that there's no way that you can have a department being at its optimal level if the challenges of funding. The second question is about the programs that are happening. Can you safely say your programs are clear and measurable? And beyond that, are you satisfied that the programs are enough or they are more than enough? Must they be reduced or you need to have the programs out of the programs that you have as a department? Then the other question, you might have seen when we're doing introduction as members of this committee, is different to NA, and we are taking our mandate from the constitution. We are representing the interests of province. When you're doing the presentation, you touch the program three, the intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management, that you have nine programs. Maybe it might not be possible now, but I would like you in future to indicate where is this problem, because we have a program as NCOP, we are taking parliament to the people, and it will assist us to do that oversight so that we can be able to assist you and do oversight on those offices, because to come and say you have got nine offices, and you might find that, like the other story of one province that told us about the bridge, and we went to that province, and we couldn't find that bridge. But the bridge was there in terms of report. The other one, also about the 486 events, when we're talking about the two sovereign countries, it's also linked to what we are representing as the Select Committee. We want to make it a way, because you might find that out of the 486, maybe most of 50% is the perception, because I don't have respect. We are focused on one problem. And I'm coming from Mpumalanga, Rural, and only to find that Mpumalanga is part of the 0.1%. So before I can conclude that my interpretation is correct, you have to provide that information. So maybe a plea that in future if we can have a slide. The last one is also the one of the community and stakeholder alliance, as you have indicated. And it was good because we have a number. And it's simple just to populate and show us that in this province you have gone to this area. So that we must not come here and just make allegations, but we must come and criticize you constructively and do that in an effective oversight. But the last thing is made, share. I don't think we have to worry much, because as long as members have enough time to do the question time, I was worried that the DM and the team, they wanted to take your an hour so that you must not have that enough time to ask the question. But you were able to deal with that. So in future, in all the things that is reflecting the problem, is a plea. When you come into the next committee, it must reflect what is happening in those problems. So that must be able to assist each other and not just have wrong information. And it was a very clear and concise presentation that gave us a picture of what is happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Member, please.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, Honorable City Minister and the Department for the presentation that you've given us. I think Honorable Nyambi has touched on issues that I wanted to raise. And one of them, I think, you could just elaborate in regards to the vacancy rates that you have. Are there any crucial vacancies that I could see? Perhaps that was your slide.
Khai.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. That's it. I also go along with the fellow members in the welcoming the presentation. Just follow up on Honorable Nyami's remarks. With regard to the speculation of or the distribution of the newspaper and as well as the public sector, and my concern is that, you know, with regard to lack of information and communication, the festival that coordinates actions against the government is not those people that the communication are given to the public sector or the department. It's mainly the civil society. But I don't see in terms of the distribution that is targeting those set up. The EM will know in the Eastern Cape, there's a paper for the Eastern Cape today. You'll find it all over the city in filling stations, supermarkets, you know. I don't know if but I don't know what arrangement they have with those you know, the supermarket and filling stations, whether the department cannot also explore a similar arrangement. So that there is, because out in the public sector management, when I came to the parliament, there have been one of the civil society organizations, which has also been in the forefront of taking action, sometimes against the government when the poor services value of certain issues. For me, it would be better even for the organization that can trust me if they could also have the input. So that you know what the government is
doing. Thank you, Honorable Khai. Honorable Sambo.
Thank you, Chair. I also would like to thank the department very much for the presentation and the previous chairperson that reminded me more time to understand the work of the department at a later stage. Just on the basis of the presentation that has been made, which were quite clear, I just need further clarity on the presentation says earlier on that or presents a whole lot of platforms that the department is using to communicate, which one would then think that it covers the bulk of the South Africa as it were, like both urban, peri-urban, rural, and all those cases. And then one wants to know, especially when it comes to the rural parts of South Africa, what are the distribution networks that are being used I think my colleague has, Honorable Member Khai has also touched on that. But also, if the follow-up question to that is that if the State Department is using so many platforms, to communicate, are we going to get to a stage where the buying of the media is going to become less? Not that the budget is high at the moment, but to say if we are using so much platforms that we are using as a department, will there be a time when the media that is being bought in other words, advertising is going to be less? Because already we are infiltrating every part of South Africa with the legal government through the
thank you, Honorable Minister. Also, is a small Nyanya question. I see on program 3 that you make community and stakeholders visits. What I'd like to know is, do these visits give any positive results as far as the relationship between communities and government? And can we maybe have an idea, if you don't have the figures yet, can provide it to the committee where you roll out the program? Thank you. Hi.
So, that's what I'm just concerned about the fact that even if the committee was being broadcast, what to you, the way it was being broadcast, you found that the channel would be okay. And the majority of the people of South Africa, that voted our government, has no access to ESC. What that department is doing to ensure that the national broadcaster broadcasts the work of policy, this particular point, work should be broadcast so that the public can see what they are doing as not as much of parliament as well as our oversight.
Thank you. Minister, over to you to answer those difficult questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We welcome especially the comments and advice that have been given by the Honourable members. For example, Honourable Kai made an example of how we then ensure that we reach out to civil society, who are also a crucial factor in our country and all that. But as I said, we are going to give responsibility to those that are responsible for the program. But I want to take everybody on board in terms of understanding how we then, what is it that we mean when we say money communication to this way as we're asking Honourable Men. In the presentation, there was mention of the phone in program, they refer to them in the phone in program, or they said the program that's called to talk to your minister, which is a program that we intend to have every day, an hour at least, the monthly minister engaging with the community. That means the community calls in the radio station and the minister responds to whatever community members will be asking. Through easy measures also, as they have said, we've been collecting easy measures as government associations, and we want to assure them that in the next easy measures, we will also invite members of the select committee so they can get to experience and see how effective are these programs that we are rolling out. The other one is through the community broadcasting and media, the print form, that I will show to all of them. We have around 467 community radios that we have, that we engage the public on. As I said earlier, it's not just about the media that going to talk, we have TV dialogue. Just if they say they want to have the transaction of this entity to go there and they ask whatever question that they need to ask, not just government ministers and deputies, everybody that has authority in government and that has everything to do with whatever things that is taken to the people. The other one, Honourable Chair, with regards to how do we then ensure that the work that is done in Parliament gets communicated, whether it's through broadcasting, to our communities. Unfortunately, for now, as we are saying, but the broadcasting channels that we have are only sitting at DSC, and we are disengaging the SCBC to, at some point, make it possible that the SCBC 24 hour news channel is available to everybody, wherever we are, that should access teams of broadcasting. That's something that we're working on. The vacancies. Honourable members would know that, as we have said, that we are reconfiguring the department. Therefore, to just fill in the vacancies also will hinder the process that we want to achieve. Then the responsibility of ensuring, as we're saying now, this new Department of Communications incorporate the broadcasting, GIS, and the regulator. We have all those components within the structure that we're going to establish. We will be presented here to the House for approval. Then today we're going to go about and fill in those vacancies. Are our programs measurable now, Honourable Yan? Which are you presented here? When you feel like you're not measurable enough, then you have a right to say, go away and make sure that you bring to us something that will be able to monitor. Because if they're not measurable, it means you won't be able to do your work in terms of overseeing it, in terms of monitoring. But what is important is that I want to, not because I represent the same department, I want to believe that almost everybody out there knows that there is something that is called a BBC. Almost everybody in this country knows that there is something called GBIS. Because I know even before I joined government in terms of AM elementary, there were always GBIS rights, especially the kids and officers. But now, how do we then make sure that they are just there?
but they reach out to everybody that were there. That is why the Department of Communications is joining the President of the country today. We invite you, South Africa, to effectively engage them, because we can create any platform, and if our people don't utilize those platforms, then it means they're not going to give us the good results as we expect. Although we're taking note of the provincial association in terms of the actual programs that we're doing in the different provinces, we commit that next time when we come back, we will do that on our minutes. Absolutely, this time, you know that you are initially from the blog. Now that we're utilizing all the media platforms that are out there, will our media buying cost be reduced? The reason we believe that this is occupying every space that is out there, be it migrant, wherever there are people that communicate with each other, we decided to occupy the media. The reason we do that, we are saying, ours is not about taking our money to leave us better accessible to 5,000 people out of the 62 million that we have in this country. Let's say, well, if there are those that have access to the people that are advertising, especially the cultural ones, the big ones, for example, that are the cities and everywhere, and that can afford to buy those papers, let's make sure that even those ones that cannot afford to buy those papers, those ones that have been paid out of about 50 rents to go to town to have access to the paper, have access to information. That's why you find us everywhere. But for now, all I can say, the budget that I have is not enough. If we are serious about making an impact and the communication that we want to make, if we are able about saying, money our citizens to tell us what to do, and by government of the people, in terms of them advising us through the transition, it means we need to make sure that we increase the budget. I'm not here to speak for that, but it's something that the members must consider. If we take communication threat, it's also enshrined in the constitution. We'll then head over to the DDG. If there's anything else that must be added to, we don't have time, my honorable citizens, just consider that there are probably a few issues that are left out. Thank you.
Just for the issue of stakeholder engagement, we use all different stakeholders. We have relationships with the traditional leaders, we have relationships with CDWs, the world committees, world councillors, the NGOs, the CDOs. We actually use all the structures that are there in our community. Remember I said we have 9 provincial offices and we'll come back with a discussion. Some of these things we have asking that when we go back home, we can actually give the information, we can repackage to say this is where our provincial offices are, these are where our districts are. And we can also give you information about some of the integrations or the things that we can do provincially. I know we have some, but we can give that. So we do have those relationships at local level. When we do our integration, we also work with those structures. Sometimes our communicators at the district level, they are able to work with the CDWs and some of the officials at the municipality level. When there is some, you know, some sensing about there's going to be a protest and like, they're actually able to sniff it in the beginning and engage and do something. We'll come up with some equations of some point. So we do that a lot. And NGOs are our media stakeholders. We're talking about Bukubanzele might not reach some of these spaces and the like, but you know, why does it reach Clinton? But 1.7 million to 32 million public, it's just not enough. So one of our strategies is actually looking at how to increase the print run. I'm sure Harold can add to some of this on my job.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have much to add, but just simply to say that we need to look at all of those platforms, initiatives out of intergovernmental relations, from products and platforms, as an integrated 360-degree communication. Because if we're talking one message, for instance, we want to mobilize societies, go and clean South Africa from Mandela Day. If we put it on social media, put it into the newspaper, we put it into advertising, we take it into communities, we take it into social, to the civil society and so on. It's about the message, making sure that we have a plurality of voices to reach every South African, as we have a responsibility over all of them. So it's not choosing one side against the other. When we can't reach them through the newspaper, we reach them through our provincial offices. If we can't reach them through our provincial offices, we reach them through social media. So it needs to be looked at as an integrated service. Thank you.
Issue
Number
3.
Mm-hmm.
the department, for the supply. Any other questions? Honorable Khai.
That's the last one from them. Also, we say the national broadcaster, when I have an opportunity to watch TV, I have observed that there are programs that they would say take place during the day when most people are at work. I can make mention of one program, which is Lumen Lab. Yeah. But you know that program got a lot of bookings, particularly with regards to vegan issues. But the timing, I don't think it's good for the people of South Africa, because most of them are not there to be able to work. I'm just making an example. I'm not saying that the department must be involved in the content of the ADC, but the FinTech should be some bad advice from the department to the national broadcast. The last point is that of the CEO that has been acting for 2 years now, when I will have been a full-time CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hai. Honorable Nyami, I think that will be the last question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We are happy that they've given to the department to two women, and print media is in need of serious transformation. And this sector in South Africa was confirmed that just from the FYC for the player. And I thought it would take us to, because if you check to date, when it comes to women participation in management level, we have only 4%. That's what we take us through so that we can understand how we are intending to transform this sector that is not transformed. But the last part, Chair, is to assure the department that we are dealing with a COVID where we have everything in the NSOB who's dealing directly with issues of IGR, if we can have that working relationship so that we can be able to take up the program of IGR and maximize what we have to achieve. Thank you.
Over to the department.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Kai, I actually noticed you that you must get this information. Or is it something that the South African citizens don't pay attention to? As government, we pay 300% of the total budget of the people. Which means SABC has to go out and get funding of about 97% for its operations through commercial programs and materials. This tells us that if we want to make a serious impact as SABC in a public broadcaster, because I know there are those ones that will assume that when I say we want to make serious impact, they will say, I want to turn into a safe broadcaster. No. We have taken a decision out of our as the government that SABC is going to be a public broadcaster and is going to continue being one. But as it is a public broadcaster, it has a responsibility to communicate or to carry out the public mandate. Now, how will we then make sure that that public money is carried out? It means we have a responsibility to increase budget. But how will you use that increased budget if you still have the constant complaining about this country, SABC as government or as a department and the public at large? Our responsibility as this ministry is to ensure that, firstly, we make sure that we put everything in order in SABC. Before we come and appeal to yourself, we ask SABC to say, this is what good governance is about. This is the kind of leadership and management that you need in SABC for us to be able to drive the public money. And then we come back to ourselves today. As we were saying, we need to cover everybody. We need this program to take into consideration whether our people are available in front of the TV set. Therefore, the total cost of that expectation is so much. And I hope, Honorable Chair, this committee will help us in ensuring that you mobilize those or you lobby for those resources within Parliament itself. The other issue of
the 2-year acting vacancy in Jose Ayat Mama. I was told that because you were talking about the CPCs. As I indicated, Honourable Members, because we are still reconfiguring this process, when we came on board, the CPCs had already gone for interviews and everything, but we said, hold that process, because now what is that? We are going to have a director general that must look into the entire department, not just the CEO of the GCIS. So that's why the process is a little bit delayed, but the process that we're going to start speaking as soon as our structure and everything is approved. Other than that, we raised the critical issue of media, of print media transformation. How do we then plan you would like to see our strategy? Honourable Chair, I would appreciate if you invite us next time so that, well, there's a lot of information that we did not give to you, Honourable Member. We want to share with you our strategy that our lives of part of us are contributing to directly this transformation that we're talking about. We want to make sure that you become communication ambassadors yourself and the people that are representing the public. Because if ourselves don't understand that our actions at times seek to delay and undermine the good sense that we have, then we're not going to achieve anything. I feel that I must not respond to that question. And then, after the other research, I've got enough time to come and share with the project committee and be able to learn from them and get advice on how we can improve in terms of delivering whatever that we need to deliver together as a most of the moment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Anita Minister. Sure, we will. We promise we will call you back to come and share the other good practices. Honourable Minister, I hope that you will succeed with what phases you call it, digital phases, because it's a really disaster. During the NCOP week 2 years ago, we've been visited some of these changes. I can recall Swellendam and in the Bolan. I think it was Telemon. And it was a total mess. The basement of the school center. All over the school center. I hope that you will manage to get it right this time around. Thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. Like we were all were saying that it was very formative, and for me now it's just to say thank you. I'm not going to say very much, and just to wish you good luck for your task ahead, and that we all going to work together to make it better. Thank you very much. Welcome to the if you want to do something. Thank you. I don't know. Anyone wants to have a body election or 5 minutes? Okay, can we proceed? I will allow the deputy minister
to give your input, including remarks.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I just want to also inform you that last week we had the opportunity to address a joint sitting of portfolio committees of telecoms and postal services, as well as the portfolio committee on communications on the occasion of the budget vote. Together with the minister, we highlighted the key thrust of the Department of Telecoms and Postal Services during the term of office of this administration. We pointed out that the vote we spoke to related to a vote that was supposed to have been passed in February this year, but could only be debated at this time due to the elections that South Africa held in May of this year. Since the election of the president has announced new ministries and departments, our new Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services is one such new department that has been configured from the old Department of Communications. As my colleague, Stella Dabeni Abrams, said, we certainly have to come back here once the new departments have been configured. We have to come back to talk about the recall plans of annual performance plans that will take into consideration the new mandate of telecom and postal services. And of course, we are ensuring we also have to be much more disciplined in terms of objectives and outcomes, as already has come from the House. It cannot be business as usual. And we also have to be clearer about what talks to what would be our radical approach to these matters. Allow me then to introduce our strategic focus chairperson and the department and the director general will then go into details as to what was to you. But before that, I just want to remind honorable members that last month, His Excellency President Zuma announced the state of the national transport. In the next 5 years, we will expand, modernize, and increase the affordability of information and communications infrastructure and electronic services, including broadband and digital broadcasting. And if you carefully unpack what the president said, it talks to the core mandate of the Department of Telecoms and Postal Services. We therefore will be presenting to you a program of action that is inspired by the directives of the president, signifying a much focused attention on infrastructure rollout, the creation and acceleration of the expansion of e-government services, the coordination and streamlining of public entities in the sector, as well as reconfigured departments, which will ensure policy and regulatory certainty within the ICT sector. I will just mention some of the key policy pillars of the new department, which I'm sure many of you who have been within the Committee of Communications are familiar with: the broadband rollout, the rapid deployment of fast and affordable broadband infrastructure remains a powerful lever to create an internationally competitive knowledge economy, improve productivity, and expand access to new markets and social development. Our national broadband policy, South Africa Connect, places the department in a position to coordinate and support the rollout of broadband infrastructure and services across the country to achieve 100% broadband
penetration by 2020. We will focus on closing infrastructure gaps with respect to the urban and rural divide, access networks which will facilitate fiber to the home. In the current financial year, 20 million rand has been allocated for the finalization of the first phase of the broadband plan. By end of this month, the present case will be finalized that seeks funding to connect 580 clinics, 4 million schools, plus 182 police stations, and 572 other government offices in the medium term. In its coordination role, the department is engaging industry to establish their broadband plans in order to avoid infrastructure duplication. And I'm sure you will hear a little bit more about that, the risk of allowing each institutional organization to come up with its own broadband, which doesn't really take them anywhere. As the chairperson of the Strategic Integrated Project 615, we plan to coordinate the role of the public institutions in the rollout of broadband infrastructure and services. We will establish and operationalize a platform for engagement to facilitate infrastructure rollout plans. And certainly when we come back here, we should have more clarity in terms of what is happening provisionally. Those of you who are familiar with the PICC, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordination Commission, its strength is that it has representatives from provinces, the metros, through SALGA, and the private sector. So there's always clarity about infrastructure in terms of what is happening provisionally. We also focus on local production of content and manufacturing, research and innovation, content and applications development, ICT skills and human resource development, funding of the broadband infrastructure rollout, coordination across government and private sector, as well as digital migration. We have already established the National Broadband Council as a platform to forge partnerships between government, private sector, academia and civil society. We expect all role players to work together to realize the South Africa Connect target. The question of cost to communication is all more vulnerable than that. It's a big issue in South Africa. Everybody says communication is too expensive and unaffordable. In the past, we have acknowledged the efforts of the industry in reducing prepaid mobile costs and the subsequent reduction in mobile termination rates. But we want to point out that our high cost to communicate remains an impediment to ICT uptake and utilization by citizens, business and government. It contributes to significant input costs, which discourages investment. We therefore appeal to industry to continue on the path towards cost to communication reduction. We pursue a cost to communication program with four elements. Firstly, the department and ICASA have concluded the broadband market value chain study. The outcome of the study is being used to assist ICASA to develop regulations for broadband prices. Secondly, in the course of this financial year, the department will undertake a national roaming study to determine cost implications, including discriminatory behavior, particularly for new entrants and small operators. In September of this year, we'll be directing ICASA to develop regulations on pricing transparency to insist that companies transform their pricing structure to enable consumers to have a clear understanding of the true costs for the services they pay for. In this manner, the true rates for the service will be disclosed upfront to enable consumers to exercise their choice. Lastly, we intend to direct ICASA to develop regulations in respect of the premium content which aims to regulate how different broadcasters will access premium content for their services. This premium content relates to content such as sports rights, films, and other content previously accessed through exclusive channels. When it comes to the question of digital migration, the June 2015 deadline is moving, and we cannot let our people down. We have taken the decision to move forward with the broadcasting digital migration program. By the end of this month, the final medium policy, which has been subject to public consultation, will be gazetted. Within the month, we'll designate the date of the start of the digital switch on. This designation will allow the industry manufacturers and TV-owning households to prepare accordingly in order to purchase and install set-top boxes that will make the digital switchover possible. The benefits of this will include facilitating the release of spectrum, increasing the number of television channels available, and stimulating local production. The ring-fenced budget for broadband digital migration is 2.97 billion, plus minus 7 billion pesos. On the question of the postal sector, the postal sector can make a larger contribution to the GDP, as well as to advance investor service and asset goals. The current market structure, which consists of a reserve, which refers to packages below 1 kilogram, and the unreserved market, is not adequately regulated. This results in challenges to enforce policy and regulation. There is an indication that the reserve market, which is a monopoly area for Apple, is highly saturated with unlicensed operators. This practice needs urgent attention by the regulator, working closely with other enforcement agencies. The ICT policy review process will also make recommendations by the end of this financial year in respect of the market structure and other regulation measures. SAPO is currently facing financial and sustainability challenges, with a number of its subsidiaries incurring financial losses coupled with numerous labor strikes. We have directed SAPO to develop an overall turnaround strategy, which will be finalized by the end of November this year. The department will oversee the development of this overall turnaround strategy. On the question of the post bank, it is critical that we utilize SAPO's infrastructure footprint to provide affordable financial services to the underserved and unbanked, especially in rural areas. Therefore, the successful turnaround of SAPO is critical to the conversation of the post bank, taking into account the role that SAPO has as the bank's holding company. The department will facilitate the registration of the post bank company and the bank in terms of the bank act by the end of this year. I think, Honorable Chairperson, I won't elaborate on improving service delivery or what you call e-governance. But all what I can say is that through CETA, over the next 5 years, a significant number of government services will be available online. On the question of oversight, government will continue to extend its oversight on state-owned entities to improve service delivery to our people. We have completed the process of reviewing and enacting new memoranda of incorporation for Centec, SAPO, and NEMISA to improve corporate governance. We'll also enter into performance agreements with boards to improve accountability. But of course, honorable members, the national partnership with the private sector is critical. Our national development plan to a large extent, we depend on that partnership with the private sector to realize our goals permanently. I will then, honorable members, hand over to our Director General to lead the department in presenting this job.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Thank you again, Deputy Minister Selandale Abrams, for your support. Honourable Members, just want to emphasize that the strategic plan that we'll be presenting is based on the old Department of Communications. As Deputy Minister Selandale Abrams and also Deputy Minister Mkhize have articulated, we are going through a reconciliation. We even met as late as Monday. There was a meeting that I attended, which was also attended by the DG of the new Department of Communications and the DPSA, where we are outlining the processes. What was emphasized by the DPSA is that we should ensure that this continued, so did not fall into the cracks. So I think in this financial year, we will continue to work together very closely. But because of the nature of the work, even after completing the reconfiguration, we will still continue to work very closely with the two partners. Like, for example, in the old Department of Communication, we still have the allocation for the ICASANAMI, which will continue to ensure that the regulator is provided with the necessary funds until such time that we've considered the reallocation, the money has been moved from this side to the other side. So this year would really be a year where we really have to ensure that we work together smoothly between the two departments. Now, with regards to the on slide number 10, honorable members, what I would say is that the second slide I would take that the deputy minister has put into, I'll just start with slide number 4. Maybe just to give members a sense of how we went through the process of developing the annual plan. In developing our strat plan and also our annual performance plan, we undertook an extensive process as a department. Slide number 4, we undertook an extensive process as a department, but more looking at the SWOT analysis, which are the strengths and weaknesses of the sector and the department, but also importantly, informed by the national development and as the Deputy Minister Mkhize has pointed to that. What we are focusing for as government is to ensure that we implement the national development plan. Of course, what is critical for us is chapter 4 of the national development plan, which is where the economic infrastructure issues are articulated. What has been done by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation? They've translated all the issues that are in the NDP into what is called the medium-term strategic framework. So, over and above looking at the MDP, we've also looked at the medium-term strategic framework, and we've also looked at the state of the nation as delivered by our president and the deputy minister spoke today. And our presentation is outlined looking at the three components, and then from then we have attacked them into the strategic priorities, and over and above it, alignment of our state-owned corporations' priorities with that of the department. And honourable members will note that the proclamation that was signed by the president and issued last week, Monday or Tuesday, it already allocates CITA, which is the State Information Technology, to the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. But because we are still going through a reconfiguration, we have not gone into the details of our work alongside those as far as CITA is concerned. So these are issues that we will include when we now retable properly. Now, moving to slide number 5. Slide number 5 is mainly unmixed the process in terms of it aligns the process in terms of aligning our ATP with that of the our entities. And we went through an extensive process, but the most important thing is to ensure that our plans are aligned with the framework for strategic plans as developed by the national government, and also which is prescribed for the national department. Key, which is what was asked in the previous presentation, is to ensure that our targets are measurable, are quantifiable as possible, and then that we have indicators and time frames. Our draft plans have already been submitted to National Treasury, Department of Planning and Monitoring, and also to the AG. From the feedback that we provided, that is the AG, that our APP, it does comply with the SMART principles. And over and above, there does then need to be
doing going forward is to ensure that on a quarterly basis we do report on progress with regard to performance at the quarterly report. Now, the next few slides, they just unpack how we have aligned the NDP to the MTSS and also to the 2014 ACP target. I will only focus on the 2014 ACP target in the interest of time. The first issue, which is also coming from the NDP, for us is about drafting a white paper on the national integrated ICT policy. The next target is coming up with a national strategy. The third target, which the Deputy Minister spoke to Deputy Minister Mkhize, is with regard to our work on broadband, which is slide number 7. Then moving on to slide number 8 is the NDP focuses about fast-tracking local loop unbundling. Our key target on this program is our call to communicate program of action, which the Deputy Minister also spoke to. But the critical one is about ensuring that we have a concerted effort to improve South Africa's ranking with regard to the IPUG or World Economic Forum on IT. The next issue is improving our penetration with regard to the internet. And then, on slide number 8, the last issue is the computerization of the post bank, which is what we must facilitate and coordinate. This is the work that we are doing with the South Africa post office. On slide number 9, critical issues that we need to ensure that we deliver on in this financial year is to obtain approval for the registration of the bank, for the registration of post bank in line with the Banks Act. But crucial is also to ensure that we conclude the fit and proper assessment of the people who have been identified as potential members of the board of the post bank board. And then over and above that, and then move on to the issues that were raised by spoken to by the president in the State of the Nation address, which is we will expand, modernize, and increase affordability of ICTs, and which is broadband and digital migration. For us, in responding to what the president spoke to, is implementation of our South Africa Connect, which is our broadband policy, the development and approval of the internet strategy, but also fast-tracking our broadcast and digital migration program, and also focusing on the cost to communicate program and then the e-strategy. Moving on to slide number 10, maybe just to unpack the key programs that are part of the old Department of Communication. The first program is administration. Second program is ICT International Affairs. Unfortunately, the responsible DDG is in Geneva. There is a meeting that is attending in Geneva. And program 3 is policy research and capacity development. Members will note that program 3, it includes two branches. The first branch is the ICT policy branch, which is headed by DDG Piri. The second branch, which is DDG Renewa Fori, is the information society and development research branch. So both of these branches are housed under program 3 as per the advice given by the National Treasury. The fourth program, this is where we do all our allocation and transfers of our entities. 68% of our budget is in program 4 because of this is where the budget of all entities are, which is enterprise development and SOC oversight, headed by DDG Makopi. The last program, which is ICT infrastructure support, which is headed by DDG Ngubeni. I must just note that administration is headed by DDG Vilagas. Moving on to slide number 11, without spending time on this, these are the key priorities that the Deputy Minister spoke to. The one issue I think that the DM did not speak to would be the one of the ICT research, that is ensuring that we improve South Africa's international ranking. This is a key issue that is also articulated in the National Development Plan. Moving on to slide number 12. These are slide number 12 up to slide number 15. These are all the issues, Honorable Chair, that the Deputy Minister spoke. Maybe in the interest of time, I can skip all these slides. I will then move on to slide number 25. With regard to slide number 25, this shows that it unpacks how we went through an extensive process to ensure that we align our NPC with that of our NPCs. Slide number 26, it deals with our work with regard to the post office.
critical for the post office is the first issue, which is the computerization of the post claim. Second is the role of post office with regard to the broadcasting data migration, in essence, the distribution of the set-top boxes. And then the second issue, which also the Deputy Minister spoke to, which is a critical issue for us, is the strategic turnaround plan for the post office, noting that post office is a holding company for the post bank, so it's therefore it's quite critical that it is in a healthy financial standing, and therefore attaining financial sustainability while delivering on the government and social mandate. On plan number 27, which deals with key policies of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, which is an issue that was spoken to by the Deputy Minister Stella Abrams at Deputy Minister Communications. What we will be doing, Honourable Chairperson, in line with the meeting that we had on Monday, from our side, we need to start the process of handing over all the issues of the SABC to the Department of Communications. There are a number of issues that we need to hand over. Over above that, also, but ensuring that the budget and anything that has to do with SABC has been properly transferred to the new Department of Communications. On slide number 28, with regard to center, this is one entity that we can pride ourselves in terms of its stability, both financially and in terms of its work. But critical for us to continue with center in terms of applying best-in-class technology solutions to ensure efficient and effective signal distribution. Moving on to slide number 29. Which deals with the Universal Service Access Agency. The critical deliverable for this entity is the distribution or rollout of or provision of the set-top boxes, which is a process that is underway as part of implementation of the Broadcasting Digital Migration Program. On slide number 30, which is the issues and institutes, is to continue with the program of training the ICT practitioners, and then also the hosting of the research colloquium that will happen this year, and also the National E-Skills Summit. Moving on to slide number 31, which deals with the regulator. While we do know that the regulator is now reporting to the new Department of Communications, and the Deputy Minister of Communications spoke to the role of the regulator, meaning not only do they regulate telecommunication posters, but they also regulate broadcasting. So from our side, we will continue interacting with the regulator. What we've agreed on with the acting DG on Monday is that we need to have a clear framework between ourselves in terms of how we interact with the regulator, in terms of the work that we still need the regulator to support us from a telecommunication and postal services. But maybe just to summarize, critical areas that also have to deal with the work of the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services is the fourth critical issue is to promote the digital agenda by publishing and considering an ITA for the licensing of the International Mobile Telephone, which is abbreviated as INT, spectrum, which is the 2.6 GHz and also the 800 and the 700 MHz. Remember, we note that both the 800 and 700, these are spectrum that still have to be released once we've considered with the migration of the digital for broadcasting television. The main thing that I also like to emphasize, which is critical for us moving forward, is for the regulator to develop infrastructure sharing regulations and define the input market for the provision of retail broadband services. And members will note that in this current administration, broadband is critical infrastructure deliverable for us as the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. The last issue, which is also critical, which is a method that will be dealt with by the Department of Communications, is to improve the operational system by aligning the organizational structure of that of OBICA. This is a method that will be handing over to the new department. Moving on to slide number 32, which deals with an agency, which is It looks small in Nepal from a revenue point of view, but it's got such a critical mandate that it doesn't, in a sense that you cannot function or access the internet without going through whether it's your .com or your .co.za. For us, the .co.za is such a critical regulator with the regulation regulation, the .co.za or the .off.za, etc. And the critical deliverable role for the webinar is to enhance the regulatory mandate and improve access and quality of registry data, but also to implement education and awareness, rolling out marketing campaigns, and also to implement a capacity building program. The next few slides, Honorable Chairperson and members, deals with the key strategic risks that we have identified. I think about five. The first one deals with the anti-policy review and the mitigation strategy for us to ensure that proactively and timely we conclude with our process of reviewing ICT policy, because the risk is that it will introduce policy and regulatory uncertainty, which will be problematic for us as government. The second risk, which is the protected data migration, is to ensure that we conclude our engagement with the National Treasury regarding the additional funding for the manufacturing and distribution of the set-top boxes, but more important, to regularly monitor the impact of the service provider's work and adhere to the department's expectations or deliverables as entailed in the service level agreement. Moving on to the third program and risk, which is with regard to broadband, critical to us is to ensure that we appoint or fasten the permanent process of field staff and source additional funding to strengthen the implementation and the oversight. And then moving on to the next risk, which deals with state-owned companies' oversight, is to redesign and realign SOCs to focus on the implementation and coordination of the ICT project. But more important, which is something that we've been doing in the last year, is to conduct an independent corporate governance review and monitoring, which must be done every 3 years. And the next issue, which is what was also a record that we've already progressed substantially, is to capacitate the state-owned corporations oversight branch to enhance SOC governance and oversight. Honourable members will note that in the previous structure that we had, this unit was at the level of a chief director, but as part of capacitated, this branch is now a branch and decided by a DDG, and the DDG subsequently has already been appointed. And today, not only do we have a DDG responsible for the SOC oversight, but we also have three chief directors in that respect. The next strategic group deals with the ICT international agenda and trade, and critical for us in terms of mitigating the risk is the implementation of our international engagement strategy, and also ensure that they align with our South Africa's foreign policy. And the next issue is to ensure that we conclude or timely develop our position papers for major engagement like the African Telecommunication, as well as the International Telecommunication Union, all the different conferences and meetings that we attend. The next slide number 28, Honorable Chairperson and members, if it can be allowed to hand it over to DDG Vilagasi, just to take us through the next three slides with regard to the financial information.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the current budget of the department, which is for 2014-15, is 1.5 billion allocated as follows between five programs. Administration, 260 million, international affairs, 36 million, policy and capacity development, 98 million, broadcasting support, which is the SOC branch, 719. The bulk of this money, as the DG said, is what goes to the entities. And the last program, infrastructure support, taking 523, and all of that means 1.5. In terms of the classification, the current payments consume 510 million. The current payments are mainly constituted or made of operational costs as well as salaries within the department. The rest of the money constitutes transfers and subsidies. That makes about 1 billion, which is 58%, and the last component being the payment for capital assets, being 5 million.
Thank you.
In terms of the transfers, we do have various transfers that we do make to the entities as well as to the international organizations where the department is participating as a member. We do pay like 16 million on transfers for international organizations. We have an allocation of 376 for ICASA, and this would be an entity residing under the Department of Communications, as the Minister or Deputy Minister has said. The Minister, the 7 million, ICASA, there are two components, there's the 65 million for operations of the entity, as well as the 49 million for the ICASA funds. A small component of 1.6 million goes to the domain name authority, the SABC getting 27 various components. Set of all subsidies currently sitting at 240 million and self digitization, which is also part of digital migration, sitting at 69 million, and therefore that's what constitutes the 1 million transfers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Villagas. Moving on to slide number 43, honorable members and honorable chairperson. I will be taking you through the strategic goals of the fifth and targets in line with our annual performance plan. The first strategic goal, which is to enable the maximization of the investment in the ICT sector and to create a new competitive business opportunities for the growth of the ICT industry for social economic development. The strategic objective 1.1 is an inclusive economic growth through the development and implementation of the ICT policies, legislation and strategies. Our key targets are as follows. The first one is to come up with a white paper on the national integrated ICT policy, which will be published and approved by cabinet by the end of March 2015. And the next target, which is the national address system policy that's budgeted. The third target, which is the community broadcasting growth strategy developed and submitted. The fourth target, which is the target that we need to work very closely with the Department of Trade and Industry, is the IDT BEE Council Establishment and Operational, lastly, which is the National E-Strategy, also gazetted. Moving on to the next strategic objective, also linked to strategic goal 1, which is one strategic objective 1.2, which is to increase economic growth and improve South Africa's competitiveness and global ratings through reducing the cost to communicate. Our key target is our program on the cost to communicate, which Deputy Minister Mkhize articulated earlier on. Now moving on to strategic goal number 2, which is to ensure that ICT infrastructure is accessible, robust, reliable, affordable and secure to meet the needs of the country and its people. The strategic objective is 2.1, which is to increase broadband coverage and affordable access to government services for all households by 2020. Our targets are as follows. The first one is about the implementation of the digital resilience strategy. This is a strategy that is articulated in the broadband policy of Africa Connect. Secondly, it is the digital development strategy also implemented, focusing on the development and approval of the implementation plan. Fourthly, which is the digital opportunity strategy implemented, focusing on innovation, entrepreneurship, R&D and skills development. And lastly, a revision of the relevant regulatory legislative matters facilitated to promote the adoption of e-government services and development of e-services platform monitored and evaluated. Honorable Chairperson and members, in line with the fact that state-owned state information technology agency now reports to the Department of Telecommunications, we have interacted with them and also with the Department of Energy and Administration just to understand how do we fast track our work or our rollout of e-government. And one of the things that has been identified is the need to re-look at the existing legislations, which have been a problem in terms of the Department of Public Safety and Administration moving forward with e-government. Also, ITA also. So this is an area that we will be working on moving forward in line with the new allocation of entities. Moving on to strategic goal number 2 again, strategic objective 2.2, which is the migration of analog digital television to ensure national digital broadcasting coverage.
critical for us is the public awareness program. Secondly, is implementation of the BBM program, coordinated with specific reference, which is the distribution of the set-top box, distribution of the set-top boxes. But lastly, is the establishment of the National Broadcasting Migration Call Center. Moving on to strategic goal number three, which is to accelerate the socio-economic development of South Africa through the building of an inclusive information society. Strategic objective number one, 3.1, which is the ICT asset development and the SME growth. With regard to this strategic objective, we will be working with the new Department of SME and also supporting the Ministry with regard to this target. And for us, it would be an internet strategy developed and implemented to support the advancement of the digital opportunity in line with the South Africa Connect. One of the key issues that we still need to do with the new Department of SME is to engage them in terms of in the basket of services that need to be afforded to the SME, what are the critical services that will be coming from the Department of Telecommunication and postal services. Like, for example, an issue of an SME having access to the website or having a website, then having access to internet. These are the critical areas that we'll be looking at and supporting the new department. Moving on to slide number 48, still on strategic goal number 3, strategic objective 3.2, which is the ICT research and development to improve evidence-based policy making for economic growth and global competitiveness. And our key targets are as follows: is the ICT research program developed and implemented, focusing on economic growth and global competitiveness. Secondly, which is the material information on South Africa's spectrum-related digitized and promoted for local content. The last one being the ICT information management repository developed, maintained, and updated. Moving on to slide number 49, still on strategic goal number 3, objective 3.3, an inclusive information society through partnership, which is what the Deputy Minister spoke to, with the business, civil society, and the three spheres of government. Critical, our critical targets are as follows. The second one is the ICT capacity development program on information ethics implemented. This is a program that will be working very closely with the University of Pretoria. And also, we are extending the program to a number of other institutions. The second target on this slide is gender, our gender and disability children matters mainstreamed into the core department of telecommunication and postal services, but also with regard to our SOCs and also the sector overall. And then lastly, to promote the ICT agenda across the three spheres of government and also to the industry and the civil society. Moving on to strategic goal number 4, which is to improve departmental performance and enhance the role of the ICTs and state-owned corporations as the delivery arms of government. The first strategic objective 4.1, which is an efficient and effective oversight of SOCs and ICASA. Members will note that when we table the APP again, we'll remove ICASA because of the process of handing over to the other side. And our target on this slide is the submission of entity facilitated reviews and assess of all the mandatory legislative reports and plan undertaken and recommendations to the executive authority made within 30 days of receipt. Critical for us as a target is the computerization of the post-grant facilitated and coordinated, and also, which is what is not reflected here, is the general plan of the South African Post Office. Moving on to strategic goal number 4, again, objective 4.2 is the efficient, effective department through improved institutional support processes and mechanisms. Our key target is to focus on support systems developed and implemented aimed at achieving a clean administration. Moving on to slide number 52, strategic goal number 5, which focuses on our international work, contribute to the global ICT agenda prioritizing Africa's development. The first strategic objective 5.1, which is South Africa's active participation in the multilateral, bilateral and other international forums to advance South Africa's ICT agenda. The first target is the three Africa's ICT infrastructure program facilitated. mainly Bakwan, DTT, and PIDA. The third one on this slide is the relations with the South countries reviewed and identified, and further strengthened to promote the national ICT agenda. Moving on to slide number 53, strategic goal 5.2, which is to explore and exploit trade and investment opportunities for the ICT sector in South Africa, the target being the existing trade and investment opportunities reviewed and additional trade investment programs for the ICT sector identified and implemented. Honorable Chairperson and Members and Honorable Deputy Minister of Communications and Telecommunications and Postal Services, thank you.
Thank you very much for this presentation. Thank you. You really are in time. I look at the watch, it's 10 minutes past, but it is in time. I think there's enough time for questions. Thank you for a very fruitful information. Although I noticed, or we noticed, the committee that there's a lot to do still, where you have to select to do some work for clarity about between the two departments. That's what I picked up out of the presentation. And I think we might call you back on the 17th of September to come and give us an update presentation of the post-bank, the establishment of the post-bank, and maybe also of the turnaround strategy plan the department. I thank you. There is opportunity for members to ask questions. Thank you. And I noticed it's the Honourable Kaki.
Sir, let's appreciate the opportunity and the detailed presentation. I have a few questions that I want to pose. First one relates to the donor funding, the nature of the donor funding, unless it is obscured to me. It's not. I think I'm interested to understand the nature of that donor funding. The second point is on the post bank. Is there any comparative study that has been made before we I know it's a policy matter from the governing party, but I suppose, or I should think, that the post banking should not conduct itself same as the commercial banks. That's why this post bank. The services must be accessible, must be affordable, must be smart for the poor and the in our society. I just wanted to share that. The third question, Chair. Since we are talking about the SMMEs and the threats that are there, in the context of cyber security. Whilst you are still, the department is still reviewing and revising the policy regime, this threat that you are talking about here, are they waiting for us to review the policy? Or what is happening? Because the presentation says the main challenge in terms of the cyber security is the SMMEs.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member, hi.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think let me first also commend the department for the presentation. It's well structured. It clearly identifies the key priorities. Use more information on each key priority. But also I like the fact that it also includes the strategic risk and also indicate how those risks will be mitigated. But I also like the fact that there will be regular meetings and workshops together with the SOCs under the department that must be commended. But I would like to look at the administration. I do not see the Okano Club as to whether there are any vacancies, particularly the management level. To the other issue, some of the numbers that also the Deputy Minister talked about with regard to the rollout of the broadband, talking about the number of clinics, police stations, and schools, were given a figure, these figures are out for the current financial year. My concern is that they are not big figures. So if we were to be given at least GEF figures as well, so that we know that if these figures for this financial year are not that big, at least they didn't have the 3 years or so, there will still be a rollout going forward for other areas that will not be covered. But also if they could be broken down into provinces, so that you know that all the provinces will be covered. Also, the other issue following up on Honorable Pankey's question on the post bank, we like the idea of a post bank that we also be pushing for. And I would even go to the head of maybe that the department or even government to encourage government departments also to use the post bank so that the government itself has confidence in the post bank that it is registered. Even the social grants that are provided by government be provided through the post bank, encouraging the members of parliament themselves to use the post bank. But also I agree with the Honorable parties that they should not really operate commercially in terms of the interest and so forth. It should be in line with the development as a objective of government. With regard to the other priorities that of course to communicate, you are identifying the problems with regard to cost to communicate, but there is no certainty in terms of how to mitigate that. I'm looking at the way forward, the kind of thing that you will be a partner for to ensure the reduction. But for me, there is no certainty. Like, government is scared to enter into that terrain and give clear direction that this is what the government will be doing. But also, you indicate that compared to other African states, South Africa is expensive. Have you done any research in terms of how the African states have been able to reduce the cost of communication so that you can perhaps try and align with those strategies? Thank you,
Honorable Hai. Looking forward, Hai.
Thanks, Chair. Let me join and welcome the presentation. I want them just to repeat questions that have been asked. In celebrating 20 years of democracy, there are some particular experiences that will inform some of the questions that I've been asking so that we must not get to temptations of assuming that this were characterized as a year in the NCOP that is not going to be business as usual. It's going to be business as usual. So being business unusual, it means, pardon me, Chairperson, from
what you were presenting when I started the airport in the first place,
I commented when we have both CEOs from both departments. And the advantage of the NCOP is that it's possible for us to have different departments in one room.
and that makes it possible for any confusion to be clarified. And the first question is about broadcasting. Where I'm seated and from the previous presentation, I was a little bit confused. Who's dealing with broadcasting? So if I can clarify, so that I can have a better say. We've seen when economic development was formed from public enterprise, the unintended consequences. So that is why if I can be clarified on that one, then maybe I'll come back with some questions. Because when I was even checking the targets, I can see that it's even reflecting some of the things that I thought is part of what we have just in the first presentation. So I was a little bit confused. The second question is about functions that you presented, that you said are still going to be transferred to communication. So as the same committee that is doing the oversight, because we have the two departments and there are reasons behind, and both of you of the two departments were able to clarify the reason behind so that we can focus on the two different departments, but we still have functions of the other department that sit on the other department. When is it going to be transferred? When is that process? What is delaying it so that we can have better sense? Then the other one is about the issue of administration. The spending in the past used to be a problem because of the human capacity, but now I've seen that in terms of percentage, a serious increase. Then, can you be assured to the committee that are you going to deal with that to address the issue of human capacity challenge so that you cannot rely on consultants and it can only be on that skills where you're just going to consultants? And basically, if I can be advised, Chair, specifically to the one of broadcasting, because I've got some few questions after this, it can be. Okay, and thank you.
Okay, Honourable Member. I also have a question to ask. If there's no other members who want to ask a question. It will be of great benefit of the committee if the department were to give a breakdown of steps in slide 13 to reflect provinces the level of connectivity so that as parliament we know how far behind each of the provinces when it comes to ICT connectivity. Thank you. I think the department, you can proceed to reply to the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm going to allow the respective DDG to deal with the issues. Like, for example, the issue of food bank, from a policy point of view, it will be DG Piri will deal with it, but it's also an oversight issue, which is Makopi. So the two of them will talk to the post bank. Administration, SNS, appointments, vacancies, and all of that, it will be DG Black that is supported by Chief Director HRM, Kirsty Pillay. And then on the some, you also deal with the issue of why the transition in terms of the allocation, because we also depended on the treasury process of ensuring that they move the money from our side, and then the money then I think close to 600 of all of our budget must then move to the Department of Communication. So that's also a process that will take longer than anticipated. And then broadband, it will be Gobain, Division Gobain. And then you also deal with the issue of cyber security. Nkumele, in the absence of gift, you deal with the donor funding issues of international.
Yeah. Can I please we also communicate and how, just as clarity that the other side of the issue and deal with it.
I think I'm DG. Greetings to the Honorable Deputy Minister in the House, Honorable Chairperson, and the members.
bank matter comes a long way. We have had a policy process which was answered in the passing of the Post Bank Act in 2010. As members would appreciate, the banking environment in the country is regulated by the Reserve Bank. The Office of Banks, in terms of the Banks Act, has to have oversight over the bank. This necessitated that the department to also align with regardless the developmental stage view position, to try and see if the implementation of the bank on the fast track, the parliament together with the NCOP select committee in January of this year debated an amendment of the post bank legislation. And later the president signed it into law. The main thrust of this was to ensure that the legislation actually complies with the licensing framework as stipulated in the Banks Act. To also assist with what the DG has referred to in the earlier presentation, the fit and proper process, which had to do with the Office of Banks to ensure that the members appointed in the board of the Post Bank are fit and proper. In other words, they meet the requirements of people who can serve in financial institutions like a bank. It is intended that it has to be a bank of first choice, a bank that operates even in markets that are accessed currently by commercial banks. It is important to note that it has to, in any case, adhere to the regulations that are designed in the country in terms of the law. So I think that's the policy for us. In our view, we are now at an implementation stage of ensuring that the bank is actually established. And this is my colleague might want to talk to the processes that are involved in the implementation.
Thank you,
can I come in?
Hello, sir.
Yes, at the DDG, because the other gentleman was outlining the policy framework on that. Now, the second DDG might explain to us how will that be different from this commission thing, because you are accentuating the point that, yes, of course, it must be regulated by this particular piece of legislation, but the political background of the Post Bank, we know it. Now, explain to us, how would that be different from the current commercial bank in terms of its own expenses? Thank you. Thank you.
president of Ohio, as my colleague has said earlier. Thank you.
Perhaps could we proceed on the issues of the cost to communicate? To be clear here, Honorable Deputy Minister Professor Mkhize has spoken to the program, which has four pillars, but this program has a background of success, in fact, if I may say so. And that's the demonstration that government is not shying away from dealing with the issue directly. The matter at hand, the fact that the telecommunications market, as it were, is a regulated market in terms of the legislation that is administered by the department, the Electronic Communications Act. Often, as we have seen in the case of the call termination rates issue, which has so far resulted in a huge reduction in costs due to the program that government has put in place, also resulting in the regulation that the ICASA has implemented since 2010. It's a growing experience that we have learned on how to deal with the issues. What we do is to conduct studies as required by the Act to ascertain where there are market inefficiencies, cost concentration, and to determine whether there is any significant market power. This is purely a competition framework which guides how the market is then regulated to deal with costs. Now, the local bundling program, which the Director General has spoken to earlier on, is one of the programs. The NDP says that we need to unbundle the local loop. The local loop is largely concentrated in the infrastructure of Telkom. We have since learned that since the department conducted a study and issued a policy directive in 2007, the market has also evolved. You currently have a duopoly of mobile operators in the market, and the incumbent Telkom has become a very small player. This necessitates for the department to then conduct a strategy to assess the environment. ICASA is going to do a regulatory impact assessment to look at the economic impact of unbundling the local loops. ICASA's plans also include the fact that, and I think this is a correct move, that you will not only focus on the telecom infrastructure, but you also focus on the wireless networks that we have to date, given the background that I have just outlined earlier. Another program has to do with the broadband value chain study which we have conducted to address the increasing levels of data pricing. Honorable Kai, you realize that even though voice calls rates are increasing, the study that we have conducted tells us that actually the data pricing is still very high, even in comparing to other African countries, including Nigeria and Kenya. And so we are undertaking effort there to follow a process that is outlined in Chapter 10 of the ACA to determine process on how the ICASA can regulate these fees. So there are efforts here. Minister is in fact going to address this issue as a political principle dealing with telecommunications. Another issue is the transformation of the pricing framework. You see, there is a hidden pricing measures that are in the industry. Some of the promotions are going on forever, and so you cannot know as a consumer, when you buy a product, is this the permanent rate? Will it change? And what are the levels of increase that you might expect? So with the pricing transparency policy directive, which the minister is beginning and began to consult the ICASA on, with an intention that by September is going to direct them to address the matter, is going to assist the industry to make sure that they are transparent with regards to products, they explain the terms and conditions to the consumers, the consumer is able to exercise more choice with regards to the benefit of this product. There is a last point that I need to just indicate here. about national roaming. You see, national roaming is key to the survival of new entrants and smaller operators. It turns out that when competition heightens, smaller players do want to offer cheaper rates compared to the big players. But because of infrastructure limitations, there are certain problems that needs to be observed there. Home and away roaming is a problem of funding, and there are a number of instruments that have been adopted there. We do realize that we may not be able to meet the SADC protocol on ensuring that you roam like a local, so your call cost to Botswana or Malawi is similar to what you pay locally. And we want to conduct some studies there to determine the market inefficiencies that are there. The department has begun work. The Competition Commission is already investigating this issue as well. And we are hoping that the complaint that is investigated by Competition Commission will give government more information on how to address the problem of national roaming. So, DG, I think on this one, I'll be there. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, members, on the issue of budgets that go with the functions that have been transferred, there is a process in place currently led by the National Macro Organization of State, which is a task team made up of Presidency, National Treasury, and Department of Public Service and Administration. There are cut-off dates in terms of when all of this the work should have been completed. The target date at this stage is 26th of September. So basically what it means is that in the case of the CASA, the money that the department has been receiving come the 26th of September, that money should have been then redirected to CASA together with the handover of all the work in relation to CASA. So that will also follow in the broadcasting line. So those are the timelines that we're working on over the year.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. With regards to vacancies, specifically at the SMS level, we currently have 92 SMS positions filled. We're in the process of filling 11 more at this stage. They've been advertised and shortlisted. So the positions are being filled in terms of prioritization. However, with regards to the NMOS project, the National Macro Organization of the State, you may find that the department will need to relook at its structure and reprioritize positions from there. So at this point in time, that is the status. Thank you.
Honourable Perth asked about the issue of the donor funding. Just to indicate that we have adopted an internal donor funding strategy in 2012. And we have received funding. In fact, at the moment, we just closed our books with regards to the EU partnership. With regards to the funds received here, we were able to convene a workshop on broadband, on the broadband study, as well as the implementation with the assistance of having international advisors. This took place last year, November. And also earlier on this year, we also had another workshop with international advisors to look at issues of promoting local content, so that we are ready when we have when we are on digital platform. On the issue of international membership, we are members to the International Telecommunications Union, ITU. That is the biggest chunk of our budget, as well as to the African Telecommunications Union, the Commonwealth Telecommunications Organization, as well as to the Pan-African Postal Union. But fortunately, this year, we're having quite a number of these transnational conferences, which are basically decision-making conferences that do take place over a four-year period. So we have written to both ITU as well as to ASIO, which we recently participated in Iran in July. And we have indicated to them the intention for us to reduce our membership contribution so that we can rechannel those funds to watch national programs.
Honorable Chair and members, on the issue of broadband, I just want to highlight that in terms of broadband, the funds that have been allocated for the current financial year is just to enable the department to do planning. And based on that planning, we will identify areas with gaps in terms of broadband and use that to
goes to Treasury to provide connectivity to those areas. In terms of the approach, honorable member indicated that the numbers are low. This is part of the phase one implementation of our broadband, and we have limited that scope and aligned it to the national health insurance program. So even in each of the provinces, which will be focused on continuing all the health facilities in that district and all the schools and all the police stations and other government facilities in those districts. So there's a breakdown of the each of the different provinces. But that's the plan for the phase one. But also what we've done, we have engaged and we're also going to engage with the provinces in terms of different provincial initiatives on broadband. And all of them, they are at different stages of implementation. Those are far ahead. We let them go ahead. Some of them are trying to find out how to align their initiatives or to achieve the targets which are set out in the policy. And on the issue of cybersecurity, the plan for the department, the current financial year, to finalize the implementation of the hub, cybersecurity hub, which will really act as the response for the country to gather cybersecurity information, present that information, and distribute it to national stakeholders and also international stakeholders, and find a mechanism on how to defend against such attacks. So that's the focus. So then we expand on broadband, and we're also widening the attacks for the people who are connecting to broadband. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and Member Smith, just to add on the issue of cybersecurity, we do have a cybersecurity policy framework, which was, I think, finalized in 2013. It's headed by state security agency because of the nature of cyber threats, but it is a national security issue. So we are participating in the Just Crime Prevention Security Cluster. But our role is mainly limited to that element of cyber security. And then on the issue of the federal site number 13, and also the clinics and the schools and all of that, we will provide that information through the Office of the Manager and the Deputy Minister to the committee in the next few days. And then maybe just to emphasize what Temba was saying, we are definitely working very closely with the regulator on the issue of cost to communicate, because it is a key priority for us, and it's a priority that even the minister is talking to, especially the deputy minister. There are a number of key activities. Of course, we believe that with regard to the voice, there has been a considerable progress. But the real issue now for us going forward is the data side. And let us learn from how we dealt with the voice. We shouldn't waste time and allow a gap in between. So we believe that we consistently engage on the issue of data privacy to see how we get to a point where as a country we are comparable, and it's no longer a discussion, because the aspect that we should be focusing on, which is the rollout of the infrastructure, that's a big issue for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other questions?
My question was not answered, and I was interested in the transfers to the other department, and whether you're going to, you said you're going to do the transfer, the function, going to be one body or the function as a proclamation, and who is in charge of broadcasting?
Honorable Chairperson, I think when we started, we did indicate that following the proclamation, which has come effective, the first one didn't really say much except to confirm what the president has said. At least the one which was issued, it began to separate the two entities in terms of functions and entities. So there's a technical process in place. As we are saying, it was issued last week. I would be reluctant that we commit here. That's why we said we'll definitely be coming back, having technically rounded off the process, following a political announcement.
Minister, maybe just to support what Deputy Minister Mkhize said, this is what we were informed in the meeting that we had with GTSA, that between the two departments, a few technical things that we still need to unpack, and then that will finalize the process by end of December.
Thank you.
It will not be better for us, because by the relevant people that are making over, so that information is relevant to us, so that we must not just have our own views about the separate rights.
Thank you. Deputy?
Yeah, I think it's important to assure honorable members that we really appreciate the commitment and enthusiasm in terms of ensuring that there's absolute clarity as to who is doing what. And also, I thought, in rounding off our discussion, I thought something will come through which really reminds us that what is this hype around telecom? It's about the triple challenges. If we can just remember that whatever we're talking about is being done, it's talking to the priorities of the country to take unemployment, poverty, and inequity. So the policy that talks to South Africa Connect at the center of it is for people's human dignity. The other point I wanted to pick up on, based on what the department was debating, the question of the post bank. The question, I think it was Honorable Fajin who said, has there been studies and so on. I'm sure there's ongoing work from the time the post policy was pronounced up to today. As there are many banks that are created for the purpose. Some of you might be familiar with banks like Rabobank, Bank, which is involved with our net bank, which is a bank which was established to ensure that farmers access the resources they need and they have new entrants. The real debate around the post bank is how do we ensure that in South Africa we come up with a balance where the post bank is competitive. Because I think that's where the usual challenge is, but also true to the fundamentals of a developmental state, like access to finance, which is usually a big problem for emerging markets, like our SMEs. They don't have a track record. If they go to a traditional commercial bank, they will ask them numerous questions, which and put conditions that they cannot meet. That's what happened to our company. So that, I suppose that's where we have to all stand together to assist in terms of ensuring that there's that balance. Already, if the conditions of the license are saying we will be registered like any other bank, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the bank to insist on certain things. But the question for us then is how do we ensure that while they are in compliance and competitive, they don't lose the fundamentals. And we've seen that risk has to be managed. We've seen with our development finance agencies. I work a lot with women. I'm sure Chairperson can relate to that. Often they will tell you that if I go to some of the agencies, development finance agencies, they put conditions which they cannot meet. So that's the risk which you have to manage and guard jealously when it comes to this bank from its inception. Because once you lose that as this collective, then it's back to square one, where we have a huge percentage of people who are excluded. And if you are excluded in financial activities and know-how and competencies, basically, you're doomed to a corner of poverty, because what do you do without the financial resources? We have the co-ops, we have the small medium entities, but we won't have access. So those are some of the challenges. I thought as long as we are clear about what we want to be and where we're going, that is really also about economic inclusion. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
wish you all well. Thank you for spending your time here. And good luck on all your plans that you have. And like I said before, we are here to play our own side. And we will keep you on your toes. And we will keep you accountable for the promise that we made with our people during the election. Our manifesto, we are going to see